Golden Cigar Club, which meets at irregular times and places at least once or twice a week to once again sample the fine art of the handmade cigar or otherwise. And our distinguished panel here of cigar experts, including John Wallace, Wesley Preve, and myself, Tom Ahlstrom, to introduce those of you who may not be aware of the enjoyment and riches that are yours at the hands of the cigar and tobacco industry. And with, I think John would like to start with a little history of the cigar.
Let's let the record show that John Wallace is smoking a Questeray 898.
And Wes and I are enjoying the Ricardo Samuel Elegante.
Yeah.
Now, in the annals of history, cigar smoking does not occur early, although we can assume that people enjoyed tobacco as early as the Egyptians. They were known to grow tobacco and probably used it in their funeral rites, but they would have gotten it more like would have been more used in the finest of incense, frankincense, myrrh, tobacco. They'd burn it on, you know, so everyone could share. The earliest recorded instance of cigar smoking came in the Mayan culture, when there's a drawing on an ancient Mayan rune. Showed a picture of a man with a stick in his mouth with smoke coming out of the end. Now, the experts are unsure whether the stick represented a pipe, which it is generally believed that in their ignorance, the first people who discovered tobacco tried smoking pipes. And then when they learned more, they started smoking cigars. The experts are unsure whether the Mayan was indeed smoking a pipe or a cigar, but the record shows that the man had a very pleased look on his face.
Now, we should say right now we have a definite bias going here, that as far as all the forms of tobacco go, the cigar is definitely number one, the pipe number two, and the cigarette number 16.
Yes. Now the first, so actually tobacco is a Native American product of both the Americas. And the first Europeans to discover cigars were, of course, the men who came over with Columbus. Now, and Columbus had a member of the expedition named Dominica Pella, you may not have heard of him. And when Columbus landed what is now Spanish Honduras, in the Pinta, the Nina, and the Santa Maria, Dominica Pella was attracted by the natives who had rolled up a native leaf and would insert it in their nose and light it and inhale the vapors. It's an extremely mild tobacco, we were told. And Dominica Pella took one of their chieftains with him and learned how to roll cigars and took a good store of leaf back with him to Spain and immediately set up a cigar store. Now, this was, of course, right around the turn of the century, and by 1600, there was already 7,000 stores in London alone selling cigars. Now, at that time, an ounce of tobacco was worth an ounce of silver. And that is, that we suppose that to be the time in the world market when tobacco was worth the most. Nowadays, it's not. Well, a good cigar is worth its weight in gold, as we say. But certainly, the market price is higher. The next remarkable advance in cigar smoking, I should add that cigars contributed a lot to the building up of America, because although the Spanish, under the influence of Dominica Pella, built up a large cigar industry at Seville, which was for a long time the Havana of the 18th century world, the best tobacco was grown in America. And a little later on we'll tell you how they make cigars and the different brands of tobacco, the different kinds of tobacco involved in making one. But the best wrapper leaf, which is the outside leaf, which I'm sure most of your cigars have outside leaves on them, was grown in the Connecticut Valley. It was called Connecticut Wrapper. And another good one was Maryland Broadleaf. And then, of course, there was all the tobacco that was raised in Virginia, and you all know how the plantations grew up, and everything was on rivers. tobacco would be shipped down the river every season. And thus the economy of America was built up enormously on tobacco revenues right at the beginning. So one could say that America was based on the cigar, but that might be stretching the point in some people's minds. Now, as I mentioned, Seville was really the center of the cigar industry. That's where Pella set up his shop. But after cigar making grew to be more widespread in Europe, the Spaniards decided that they would be better off to set up a cigar making headquarters actually in the Caribbean, since they controlled most of the outlying, you know, Nicaragua, that sort of thing around the Caribbean. So they moved to Havana and set up their cigar making manufacturing plants in Havana. At this time, the cigars were made totally by hand. It was very coolie labor. Hundreds of thousands of people were employed in Havana at this time making cigars. And Spanish cigars were shipped all over the world. And from that time on, Havana has become really the cigar capital of the world until this day. The next remarkable advance in cigar history was in 1810 when they invented the cigar mold. Now, previous to this time, the cigars were simply made by hand, and they were rolled on a block, and they would, you know, be rolled up and then cut off at the ends. So the variety of shapes and sizes was not really that, you know, that wide. You know, you didn't have a wide option to choose from. But they developed the molds in 1810, and it became about four times more efficient in the process of making cigars. So each of these 100,000 people before, you know, could make about 100 cigars a day, were now making upwards of 400 or 500 cigars a day. Of course, the cost of the cigars went down, they became more widespread, and more people began to get on the enjoyment. And then late in the century, in 1896, the automatic cigar rolling machine was invented. And that's been really the last remarkable increase in cigar technology to occur. And of course, the last remarkable incident in cigar history was in 1959, when Castro overthrew the Batista regime in Cuba, and as a result of several senators in Miami, this fine country cut off one of its best pleasures, the Havana cigar. Now, there's a couple other things. That's basically a short history of the cigar that I should mention. Just about terms that we may be using as we discuss the cigar, which you might like to get in on. First of all is the colors of cigars. Now, there's basically four different kinds, and I hope I can remember them all. The lightest cigar, which would be a green cigar. The color span of cigars goes from green, light green, to dark brown. They don't go from brown to light brown and dark green to dark light green. Kind of runs along the green span, then into the brown somewhere, and then on. The lightest color is a Calib, or a Carib, which is very light. And that would be really a green cigar. Or some of those that might have gotten one of Wes's Panatellas might have a Calib. This would be almost a Calib. Yeah, a Perfecto. This would be almost a Calib color. Very light. The second color, which is just a little more down the shade, I can't remember.
Claro.
What? Claro, that's right. That's the second one. The third color is a Colorado, which wouldn't be as dark as the cigar I have. I don't see one that would be a Colorado. And the fourth color would be a Maduro. And this is a Maduro. In fact, all those of you that got cigars out of this box would be smoking a Maduro cigar. Now, there's no truth to the rumor at all that a lighter cigar is milder than a darker cigar. You know, you hear somebody smoking a big black cigar. And you hear somebody talking about a big black stogie, you know they don't like cigars. So you hear somebody talking about a big black cigar, that would probably be called a Maduro, or a double Maduro, which would be a very dark cigar, but it would not necessarily, by virtue of its color, be any stronger. Although, usually darker cigars are aged a little bit longer, because the leaf gets darker as it ages. And then the three basic shapes of cigars are Perfectos, Panatellos, and Coronas. Now, this one here is a Perfecto, right? But it's not You can, I don't know if you can see it. It's easier with a drawing. Perfectos are cigars that are usually shorter, and they're shaped thin at both ends and thick in the middle. So they go like this. They kind of look like a dirigible. Most cigars at the beginning of time were, and when they first started smoking cigars, were perfectos, because they just rolled them out on a block, and then they'd have a thick middle and thin ends, and they'd cut them off and smoke them. The second kind, and a lot of people, I've seen some Panatellas around here. That's almost a Panatella, like that. It's a short, thin cigar, which is usually blunt at both ends. A lot of the ones that you see on cigar advertisements with the guy sitting in the back of the railroad car smoking are Panatellas, the short, thin ones. And then the third type, and the most popular type, of which this is one, is a Corona, which is usually a larger size cigar, and it's blunt on one end and rounded on the other with no taper at all. And the third things that I'll clue in on the terms are the three kinds of tobacco in a cigar. The inside of a cigar is made up of what is called filler tobacco. Now, filler is tobacco that's cut up into strips, about, depending on the quality of the cigar, maybe about that wide. And long filler cigars, which are the best, the filler runs the entire length of the cigar. And the person who, if say it's handmade, they're usually made with molds. The person takes the mold and a bunch of filler tobacco, and they'll line up all the filler together and roll the filler up in his hand, like this. Then he'll roll it into the mold and shape it roughly in the shape of the cigar. Then he takes a second kind of tobacco, he or she, which is called binder tobacco. Now this tobacco is usually from the lower leaves on the tobacco plant. And it's thicker and stronger, and they may take, you know, two or three of the binder leaves, and they roll it over the top of the filler and make a, you know, a tube out of it. Now this one will be, you know, have a lot of bumps and that sort of thing in it. So then the cigar maker puts it back in the mold and rolls the filler and binder together until he gets that smooth finish on it. Then the most important piece of leaf goes on, and is also the hardest leaf to put on, and that is the wrapper. Now the wrapper is usually the best tobacco on the cigar, and that's the one you see on the outside. And wrapper is picked for not only for its color, but its lack of Mars on it. You know, there's not a lot of little green spots, or you know, white spots or tears in it. And it usually doesn't have big, thick veins, which cause your cigar to burn along the vein instead of evenly down the sides. And that, because the wrapper tobacco is so expensive, the cigar maker cuts it exactly to fit the cigar before he rolls it. And then in one motion, he rolls the cigar, the filler and the binder, into the wrapper, seals it over the ends, lets it dry, and then cuts it, and then they put it in a storage compartment, usually for about 90 days for some of the moisture to go out of it. And then they send them to the cigar store, and the cigar store gives them to you, and we take them home and smoke them. And that's all I have to say as far as information goes. Tom?
Are there any questions so far?
The tobacco is wet then when they're doing all this.
Well, what, I guess I give a little more on the tobacco end of it. When they pick it usually takes about 2 years, or, well, it depends on the cigar, for at least a year from the time they pick the tobacco till the time it gets into the cigar form. And what they do is they pick the cigar, the leaves, and it all has to be picked by hand. There isn't any mechanization. And they tie all the tobacco together by the stem with a string. And then they take it inside and hang it in these enormous vented buildings, in which they control the humidity and the temperature. And it kind of seasons for about a week. They pile it up, and when it's piled in these stacks, the bales, it ferments. It gets the heat inside of the tobacco from the biological decay or whatever it is that's going on, heats up the tobacco so it kind of cures itself. And they usually leave in these big bales for about 8 months, 9 months. So it's still got a lot of moisture in it because it really hasn't been exposed to the open air except in that first curing process. Then that's when you see those big, you used to see on the TV ads where they'd be buying the tobacco and they'd be those big stacks of it. That's the kind of bales that they cure it in. It ferments in. Then they take the tobacco out of the bales and they dry it. And the best best company is air dry it. And the worst company is dry it in ovens till it's down to about 15% water content in the cigar, which is too is more moist than you can smoke it. And they so it is wet when they roll it, but it would feel just about like this. It would just be a little bit more moist so that the leaves would stick together. And then the final then after they made it, they cure them for another 90 days or however long it takes to get it down to about between 8 and 12%, which is about what a cigar should be when you smoke it, when you first light it up.
What causes the aging? Is it just pure aging between the green and the dark brown? Same kind of leaf, but is this an aging?
Well, no, there's different kind of leaves, which will have different colors. The longer you let a cigar age, though, the darker it'll get. The Ricardo cigars that Wes and Tom are smoking come from a place called Cameroon in Africa, which is right now where the best wrapper leaf is supposed to come from. And you can tell the Cameroon, all the Cameroon wrappers I've ever seen have been the Maduro color, the dark brown. But you can't, older cigars will get darker, but the tobacco itself comes in a range of colors. So you couldn't take a green cigar home, leave it in your basement, and come back 15 years later and have a Maduro wrapper on it.
Now I noticed that Wes is smoking his with the wrapper with the band on it. This has always been a big controversy. Do you take it off or do you smoke it with it on?
Well, that's an interesting thing happened after McGovern went to Cuba. Some cigar aficionados in New York this has always been a big debate, do you smoke with a band on or with the band off? So when we got a little more diplomatic relations with Cuba, they sent a letter down there, and the Cuban authorities wrote back and said, the cigar, and the proletarian down in Cuba, all the workers the same, and the letter said, the cigar band is on the cigar, so the gentleman will not soil his fingers when smoking it.
And soil his glove.
Soil his glove, that's right.
Yeah, I think that's the history of the band when it was put on.
Well, I think we should have a few words from Wesley,
who's yes,
certainly
should.
The most experienced of us all here with the cigar.
Like I said, the J&R Tobacco Company gives a few hints on tobacco quality and cigar quality and so forth. They mention in their brochure, which I read, that usually a pure white ash on a cigar, or a good white ash, is a symbol of quality of a good cigar. If you get a black ash on a cigar, it is not a high quality cigar. And some American cigars, American-made cigars, you will notice if you buy them in a drugstore or Safeway, take them out and smoke them, will have almost a pure black ash on it. Whereas this here, these imported and foreign cigars, Havana or Ricardo's or whatever you have, you notice usually has a good white ash on it.
Okay, I'll say a few words about how to choose a cigar and why cigars are such a wonderful thing and good for your health. Now, first of all, a good cigar will burn for at least 45 minutes minimum. A cigar that's gone in about 15, it's a smoldering, towering inferno or something like that. A good cigar will burn slowly as a result of the ingredients in it and the proper moisture. So when you pick a tobacconist, you make sure that the case the cigars come in is humidified. A pool hall is always at the right humidity.
Yes.
You should know. Pretty uniform, 70 degrees temperature, which makes it perfect for the storing of cigars. One of the good things about cigars, as those of you who have been guests of the Cigar Club know, John is up here, he's almost a charter member now, and Steve over here in the Fiatas, Billy loves a good Ricardo, and so does Vern, will know that a cigar is a great aid to conversation, first of all, and secondly, it does what the whole world is after in terms of transcendental meditation, Esalen and everything else can be packed away inside your little frame at the hands of a good cigar. Because it's a time when you relax, you can't go anywhere. It's not like cigarettes that you really can smoke on the run. It's something you have to sit down and enjoy. A good cigar, the reason, there's all kinds of things like size that vary according to what you like to hold. The cigars that I like the best are at least this diameter, or not any bigger than this diameter, and maybe a little longer. The thin, pencil-y cigars that have become real popular burn very hot, because the benefit of this width is that a large ash will develop on the end of the cigar. And this Ricardo is so well made that it will hold the ash for twice. It won't fall off of here unless a breeze hits it or something, or unless there's a flaw in the manufacture, which doesn't happen too often. It'll hold it till about halfway down. And then when it falls off, it stays in one piece. And then the second half will burn all the way down, so you can save it if you want to. Look at it later. But when you go to tobacco store, make sure that the tobacco, the cigars that you get, first of all, take along a friend and sample many cigars. Remember that price is no object. Now, Ricardo's are about $1.05 a piece. And these are what?
About $35.
$1.35?
No, $35.
About $35.
A piece.
And the prices will vary according to where they're from, whether or not they're handmade, and what the size is, and what the rarity of the tobacco used in the cigar is. Ricardo's are more expensive because they're handmade, and there's a lot of tobacco in a cigar this size, and it'll last you for pretty much an hour, maybe a little more. And you begin to notice when you smoke cigars some of their characteristics. Wes talked about the ash on a cigar. A cigar smoked slowly will burn pretty much evenly. Now, as I turn it, you can see this is it's unusual for Ricardo to have this many kind of dips around the sides. It'll usually be perfectly even all the way down because of the quality that goes into the making of it. When you go to pick out a cigar, find out, first of all, where the tobacco comes from. Don't try buying a box of anything. Buy one or two, try it with somebody else, and see what you think. There's lots of qualities involved in the flavor of a cigar. Some you may find really hot. Don't give up on the cigar at that point. Havanas are the famous for being the thumbnail cigar, which you smoke all the way down to about there. And a good cigar will not get stronger as it gets here, but will get increasingly milder as you approach the thumb. It's not the other way around. It's not worse down there, it's better. Now, one of the things about a cigar is that as it burns up all the oils that are in the tobaccos. Pipe collects them in the stem, as you smoke pipes know. Then you pull on that, and you can get that kind of slime in there. A cigar doesn't do that because it's always burning it up, which adds to its mildness. When you go to a cigar store, make sure that the place that you're buying them at has them humidified and they have a temperature gauge in there so that you don't get something. You pick the cigar you want, first of all, say. And after a while, you become real accustomed to where cigars are just from their aroma. Like Jamaican cigars have kind of a citrusy smell and a citrusy taste, and they're sharper. Ones from Spanish Honduras or Dominican Republic are much milder, very rich kind of smell. And pick the size you want, preferably a handmade cigar. Look at the sides of the cigar to see whether or not the ribs of the tobacco leaf stick out real far. If they do, then it's a bad leaf. Then hold it up to your ear and roll it between your thumb and your forefinger like so. Now, if the cigar has been properly stored, it'll crackle just slightly. If it's been kept too damp, it won't make any noise, and you'll be sucking all day, and after 6 hours you'll have burned that much. If it's too dry, it'll sound like, I don't know.
Fireworks.
Fireworks. You're nothing but crackle. And then you know you're really going to be sorry when you light it up. And you totally burn your mouth out. But smoke a cigar very slowly. There are certain beverages that go very good with cigars. We'll talk about that. We'll leave that up to John. Pardon me here. I don't want it to go out. It's very important that your cigar never go out. Because as soon as it does, the tars that are continually being burned in this direction will congeal and stop burning. And if you have ever relit a cigar that has gone out, you know how horrible it tastes.
Although Winston Churchill liked to let his go out and smoke them again.
Yeah.
He said they were a little more racy the second time.
Gamey.
Gamey, that's okay. Right.
Yeah. But if you do have a cigar that goes out, then there is a cure. You can hold it under a match and run the match along the sides of the cigar. And that will once again kind of decongeal the tars that are in the cigar and drive it once again towards the end. Now this kind of cigar requires a cutter. Handmade cigars have no hole in them, anything like this. You have to either bite it, which isn't preparable to buying a cutter.
No, or aesthetic.
Yes, or aesthetic. There's a whole routine even that goes into the lighting of cigars. We usually use a beeswax candle, and if you hold the cigar above the candle and heat it gently first, you drive some of the moisture towards the back, and as you turn it, it'll eventually reach the ignition point by itself without you ever having to puff on it. And that's if you light it too fast, or hold wooden matches are always preferable, but if you hold a match right up there, then the sulfur will get into the cigar, and it'll be hot all the time you're burning it, because there'll be layers of sulfur all the way around inside the fillet. And you don't want that, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, it's very important that you do it slowly and methodically until you get a nice, even kind of burn on the cigar.
Let me touch it briefly. Excuse me.
I was going to ask a question. Is it preferable to inhale cigars to get the most flavor out of them?
No, never, ever inhale a cigar. All the flavor that you can get from a cigar is in the mouth. You know? And you learn after a while, when you taste cigars, some cigars will leave kind of a dry taste in the mouth. And that's a brand you wouldn't go back to. Other cigars are barely, hardly, even slightly noticeable in flavor, like some of the really mild Havanas that almost you would imagine was not even lit, but smoke comes out.
But if you're going in for cigar smoking, what would be the minimum price you should really pay for a cigar? The minimum, you talked about the price of cigars before, what would a minimum?
I don't think there is, it would be. I mean, it's like, because if you find a cigar that you like to smoke, and that you can smoke, without getting tired of, that, smoke it.
You can't even get a good cigar for less than 25 cents.
Probably not, because they have paper in them, which we'll talk about in a minute here.
Yeah, we should touch on that. The cigars...
Some of the nose.
Yes. There's two things. One, the cost is, of course, a question. But cigars, read the labels on the side of the cigar. Some cigars will say, contains predominantly tobacco ingredients with a substantial amount of non-tobacco ingredients. And what that is they make a mixture of paper which they flavor, and there, what's that say, Steve?
These cigars are predominantly natural tobacco with non-tobacco ingredients added.
Yeah, that's a little less full of paper than others. But those are also much cheaper, than a 100% tobacco cigar. And every cigar will have a certain purpose depending on when and how you want to smoke it. A nice William Penn and a game of pool with Wesley is one of the great pleasures of being a human being. And there it's not a problem at all. If you are wanting to sit down and really enjoy the full flavor of tobacco, though you don't want the paper mixed in. They mix the paper up into a kind of slime, flavor it, dry it out, and cut it as they would ordinarily. And if you cut open one of these cigars and look in the inside, you'll see the cardboard cone running down the center.
Especially in those ones with a mouthpiece on them. They put little really whole sheets of cardboard in the mouthpiece to hold the cigar in. It's like smoking your Cheerios.
Most cigars run in price from being 100% tobacco, from these about 35 cents, which are very good, those are having these chicoys here, to about $1.50 for the beginning price of Havanas. And then from there they go upwards to, you don't see many cigars more than $2 a piece. And by that time, for $2 a piece, you're paying for a double Corona of about this length and this diameter, an all-day sucker. And that'll take you a while. It'll occupy your time for some days.
Yeah.
Happy time, to be sure.
I wanted to touch just briefly on the various American cigars brands which you have seen. You will go into a Safeway store, you will see King Edwards, William Penn's on the average, and that type of tobacco in here. Probably because Safeway, Salkins realize a better profit on that type of a cheap cigar. And the average man doesn't want to take the time or trouble to seek out a good, better tasting cigar. But the King Edward cigars, I noticed, I've smoked quite a few of those. And the ash will always come out, roughly drop off on you. And it will be usually predominantly black on the King Edward. Not that I'm knocking King Edward cigars.
No, I haven't.
No. And these other cheaper brands. Now, Dutch Master used to be a good cigar in the old days, but they've tended to add more non-tobacco ingredients in most of the cigars, I mean American cigars, which you see in a grocery store or in a drugstore, because they probably want to appeal to the common man who wants to feel like he's got to feel rich for a couple hours. Now, Dutch Master used to be a good cigar in the old days, but they've tended to add more non-tobacco ingredients in most of the cigars, I mean American cigars, which you see in a grocery store or in a drugstore, because they probably want to appeal to the common man who wants to feel like he's got to feel rich for a couple hours and so on.
Long.
Yes, where is a good place? Where does one buy really good cigars?
Well, that depends upon where you come from. Now, there aren't any good places in Chelan. They're only sold in drugstores and the Safeway cigars there. Seattle has a number of good cigar shops. Right? Spokane has a number of good pipe and tobacco shops.
The best thing to do when you're going to buy a cigar, I think, is to go. Yes, there's Tom's ash, which he can hold in his fingers.
And it'll really keep its, it turns to powder when you find it good.
Is to go into a cigar store and first of all check the to see if they have humidors.
Yeah.
In other words, don't ever buy cigars that are out in the open at all, because that means they've been subject to the air for God knows how long. Second thing is, you should usually buy cigars that come out of boxes that the cigar store displays their cigars in the boxes. So they put out the box opens up, and you can look at the box because there's a lot of information written on the boxes. In America, there's certain requirements about fairness and truth in advertising. So they're forced to tell you whether it's all natural tobacco, and usually, since they're anxious to impress you, they'll tell you what kind of wrapper leaf it is and what kind of filler it is and that sort of thing. Third thing is, go somewhere, kind of shop around, and buy, it's almost worth it to have a person you trust to sell you your cigars. If you go into a cigar store, even if they have good cigars, and the guy's a nerd behind the counter, don't go back if you can get the cigars somewhere else. because it's nice to have, it's kind of like your doctor. You want somebody you can trust behind the counter. And that way, the place that Tom and I get our cigars from in Minneapolis recently, you know, that we went in and they were very nice, you know, they know what the different kind of cigars that they have are. And, you know, they talked intelligently about it. You know, if you ask them, you know, they don't say, well, take these home, they're a little dry, and lick them for a while and keep them in the refrigerator. If somebody says that to you, you know, that's not a good place to buy cigars. But if the guy, you know, they like to talk and they're willing to discuss the cigars with you and point out, well, I smoked this one and didn't like it, and this one has a good flavor, or I prefer, you know, ask them, some people prefer cigars from Jamaica, and if you don't like Jamaican cigars, then that, you know, that person has different tastes from you. The best thing to do is find a tobacco store that has good humidors and cigars in the box.
And make sure that you get to pick the cigar.
Right.
If you point on the other side of the glass case, you know, don't say one of those. A good place will take the box out of the case and set it on the top, and then look at each one. So if it's down to two cigars in the box, and a box holds 25, then you know that the two that are left are the two that no one else wanted. You know, and people will come in, and you'll see them look at the cigar and look at it for rips in the in the wrapper or anything of that kind. Pick it slowly. If one of the two doesn't interest you, ask them to open another box, and then pick your cigar out of that one. Just for a couple of things about things that people think about cigars that are not necessarily true. The strength of cigars. There are cigars of incredible mildness, and those are ones that really, I don't like to smoke that much because they don't have that much flavor. But if you do like that kind, or if you like a cigar in the morning, then that might be the kind of cigar you'd like to smoke. Ricardo's are really rich, full-flavored cigars. And they're very good either outside, which is a whole nother thing, whether or not you like your cigars outside or in. Because watching, you know, the smoke, of course, is a treat in itself. And there's a great deal of difference in the aroma and in watching the smoke of a cigar. Just a few things about health kinds of things. A cigar, as a Mishpura, is extremely good for you. To a point. If you're a five cigar a day person, this isn't going to do your mouth any good at all. Usually, my maximum number of cigars is two a day if I smoke that. And usually I smoke one a day or one every other day. It's about what the number of cigars that I smoke. And there is a terrific relaxation in cigars. You don't inhale them. And there is a certain amount of the nicotine passes through the mouth, membrane in the mouth, and into the bloodstream. It lowers the blood pressure way down. And you get this terrific kind of, you know, that kind of feeling like you see them on plantations in those movies, you know, kind of sitting in Burma and enjoying the heat.
The gastronomical delight of a cigar, the taste, will settle you into a peace and quietness which you have not, if you have not discovered this before, a good cigar. And also you'll be able to philosophize and meditate much better, more clearly, than you would had you smoked, I mean, a cigarette.
Many restaurants I find offer Antonio Efilcatra's Light and Dark. Mm-hmm. Are they a Panatel, number one, and number two? Are they made in the United States, and number three, are they any good?
I so seldom smoke them, I can't maybe.
Antonio Cleopatra's are made in Tampa, which is really the best American city for cigars.
When Castro took over we should say a little about that. When he took over the tobacco industry, the people who for, you know, generations had rolled cigars and made it a really magnificent art form. I mean, this isn't easy to do, you know.
He had a TV special on that this last year on public television.
Yeah, fled to Tampa primarily, and to the other countries, especially Nicaragua, Jamaica, Dominican Republics, and the Canary Islands, where many people feel the finest cigars now come from. But if you see in an American store a cigar that says Havana on it, 100% Havana, what it is tobacco that was cut down in 1959 and then shipped to Tampa on these huge barges, just hauled it out of there, and then they salted the field, you know. And it's kind of rude to buy those. You can get Havanas if you go up to Canada, or to Europe, or to Mexico. They're all available there, but...
Yeah, to answer your question about Anthony and Cleopatra, they are American cigars made in Tampa with all American tobacco. Grenadiers, which is, I think is the top of Anthony and Cleopatra's line, is an all-tobacco cigar, and it's a Corona. Those come six to a box, and they come light and dark. Now, Anthony and Cleopatra also makes a Panatello, which I believe it says on the side of the package, but it's predominantly tobacco. And they kind of run that. Almost all American tobacco companies run kind of a line of cigars, which go from usually a fairly decent cigar at the top of the line, which is usually a Corona, down to have a Tampas and, you know, Tipperillos and that sort of thing. But again, that's a situation where you kind of check some of that stuff out on the box. I used to smoke Anthony and Cleopatra Grenadiers when I started.
But yeah, I switched. Yeah, I used to bartend, and the place that I worked, those was the two cigars that they sold. And yeah, the dark ones are pretty good. Mm-hmm. And for their price, which I think is a quarter, they're a good restaurant cigar if they permit that in a restaurant, which is really, I mean, a restaurant isn't the kind of place where you want to light up a cigar. Because it's especially for people who don't smoke, it's going to be really offensive. It's just going to totally overpower the flavor of food. And a cigar is not something that you want to ever have, you know, before a meal, ever. You know.
Eating at second
sight. That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Cafe Tan is a new brand that's come out where it popularizes in a brown package. I bought some of those, and those have that rollback of that bitter whiskey.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes some looking to find a cigar that's good. John was in Minneapolis, we went to the cigar store about every other day, and we would buy two of something. And our minimum price for cigars was about at least a dollar a piece. And so we were looking at, this is at the top of the line, and there were ones for a dollar a piece that were no better than half a Tampa. You know, total rip-off, you know. It's just, it might be all tobacco, but it's all bad tobacco. But after trial and error, we ran across these, which have really become kind of the club cigar. The Ricardo.
The olden day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I notice on the back of the Ricardo box that it says these are not to be sold for less than 20 cents.
Mm-hmm. And now that's good. A rating system.
By the Internal Revenue Service.
America sells pre-tax cigars. There's a federal tax on cigars, mm-hmm, on all tobacco products from the Revolutionary War days. It's one of the first things that the Continental Congress put a tax on. But the highest tax rating, I think, is G, which is 20. These cigars are intended to sell for 20 cents or more.
Yeah.
So that's why it says that.
Yeah, that's what this says. Cigar in here contained is intended to retail for more than 20 cents each and are so tax paid, but of course the amount you pay for them will be a great deal more than 20 cents a piece.
Right.
When I was in Copenhagen, I was going to buy a variety of cigars for my grandfather who likes them. Mm-hmm. And I had the guy help me pick out, I don't know, like two or three, a piece of a, really quite a number of cigars. And after I got them all together, he said, who are these intended for? And my grandfather, he laughed and laughed. He said, oh, most of these are women's cigars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
what does that have to do with mildness or with this, the
Denmark
length?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I mean, what's the difference?
Well, I don't think it would have to do so much with the tobacco, although there might be certain tobaccos, as much probably with shape and color.
Well, I could do that. So.
Yeah. I would think partly with flavor, too.
Yeah.
People who smoke a lot of cigars won't like a cigar. Like if you know, if you get interested in cigars, you know, and all the things that go, all the surrounding, you know, mystique of a cigar, then go to a cigar store and tell them, you know, that you are interested in trying a few cigars that are good, and have them recommend something very mild. And there are cigars that are just amazingly mild. You know? If it's burning your mouth out, it's bad. You know? Then you know you've bought a bad cigar. No, a good cigar should do that. But there is these gradations. Like the one I get, the place I got these from sent me a free sample because they asked them if there's anything interesting. And that's another nice thing about you get familiar with a tobacco store and they'll recommend things and they'll send you a free sample. It was one, Ahoya de Cuernos from Mexico, much darker than this. You know, very strong. But at no time did it, you know, you get this kind of feeling like your taste buds are screaming for mercy, or your, you know, the lining of your mouth is drying out and becoming, you know. A good cigar can be strong without doing that. So I wrote back and ordered a few more to try some more first and to get some more information about what's in them, where's it come from. I think they were Mexican, just a guess, you know. And then to see if they're handmade, what the federal tax is on them, and get all the information you can, because it's an expensive item, you know. And it's all, you want to get your money's worth. And when you do, it's always really worthwhile. I suppose for me, the biggest treat of all in smoking cigars has been some of the premier conversations of my life have been had over a cigar, you know. You do, you just kind of sit there, and you know, it's kind of a dreamy thing to do. Kind of a dreamy person, anyway. Kind of fit, you know.
Yeah, but you can get like these cigars, and that I gave to everybody who wanted one in the yellow can. That can comes in 25 to a can, and it's not as nice as a box. You know, you can't keep things in it, but they sell for $8 for that whole can, which works out to about 33 cents a piece. And there are, you know, there's that whole gradation of cigars through the whole range, you know, things to enjoy. You don't have to be paying $25 a box. Especially if you kind of look around, these are sold by a drugstore in Spokane, which keeps the cigars very well. It looks kind of like one of those old candy things in a drugstore that's just has wood, big wood doors and glass panels, and they keep all kinds of bad tobacco in there. But they also have a few nice cigars, and they keep you humidified because they have tobacco. And they just happen to run into this thing, and they buy them. And a lot of people in Spokane smoke Jacarés because they're a great cigar for 33 cents a piece. You know, there's a lot of things like that you can find if you look.
And if you are buying cigars in any kind of quantity, like coming up here, I had to buy a humidor, which I wouldn't have had to have in Minneapolis because it's so dry, you know. And a good cigar like this would just be ruined, you know, real quickly. And once they are dried out, you know, then you see people licking them. And, this kind of thing, which you should never have to do to a good cigar. The nice thing about this is that it's a self-contained kind of humidor. And this will keep 25 cigars nice for as long, you know, as if you smoke one a day.
How long would it keep them then?
That can was given to me for Christmas, but it wasn't open until June. And then, so that's been almost two months now. And they're still in good shape.
Now, if you bought a box, they wouldn't stay good in that, would they?
They will if it's a cedar box. If it's a cardboard box, don't buy it. That's a bad sign.
Or don't keep them in the box.
Yeah, or else put them in something else. If they manufacture their cigars and they claim they're good and they put them in a box made out of paper, a box has no properties at all which will maintain the freshness of a cigar.
Well, how does a cedar box maintain it?
Cedar is the best. A good humidor, for instance, if you're buying humidor, will always be lined with cedar.
For one thing, the cigar box, the cardboard box, just the lid just sits on top of the edge, but in the cedar box there's a groove and a latch.
And it has a great ability to retain
moisture.
It's very coarse. And it'll keep the moisture in, but it won't let it escape.
How long can you keep a box of Ricardo's in out here?
A month and a half, I'd say, in a cedar box. But that's such a good cigar, they wouldn't last that long, you know.
You see people putting apple slices into it.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, I was going to ask
you about that. If some people will say, you know, if you get your cigars, if you don't have a humidor, put them in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And they're like bread and other things of this sort that will absorb smells immediately. You know, it's a good temperature for cigars. My room isn't. My room's about 90 degrees. They are humidified, you know. But it's a little too warm in there, but I smoke them at a rate that it's not going to do them too much damage. But, and mine will hold about 75 cigars or so. But if it's, if you put it in a refrigerator, it'll absorb all the smells in your refrigerator. If you put an apple in the box or a slice of orange peel or something, it'll absorb that smell. And you'll get that in there. Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing about some people, you know, you've seen rum-soaked cigars and seen all kinds of flavored tobaccos, and that, you know, it's okay if you like that, you know, do that, but that means that you're not smoking tobacco, you're smoking apples, which is, I mean, it's the flavor you come up with. Another interesting thing about the tobacco industry in America is that it's the second largest user of sugar after the food industry, and that, you know, so but most so like people that the apple taste in apple tobacco comes from a little bit of apple and a lot of sugar. All aromatic tobaccos and stuff have that in it too. That's why they get so bitter at the end, because all that sugar caramelizes and mixes with the oils, and then you're burning sugar.
Just carbon.
Yeah. And that's why people think that tobacco is one of, you know, people who smoke cigarettes or something and then quit and then have to eat, it's because they're getting their sugar in their cigarettes. Not in their food.
What about liqueurs and so forth?
Mm. Yeah, we didn't get to drink. Oh, now that's a very interesting.
That to
we should. The thing that you want, different cigars go well with different kinds of beverages. I personally think that one of the best things to have with cigars is water. I enjoy, you know, it's cool, and it kind of rinses off your palate, just like, you know, between bottles of, you know, a little glass of wine, you have a little water to clear your palate, and you continue to enjoy the taste of the cigar in a fresh mouth with water. And I often do that. Some cigars go very well with beer, and some cigars go terribly with beer. It kind of depends on a really mild cigar. The carbonation in the beer ruins that taste in your mouth, and so with that kind of taste. With a mild cigar, a liqueur that doesn't have an overpowering taste, like cranberry bogs wouldn't be a very good thing to have with a cigar. But, you know, a good brandy or cognac is good. I like to drink Scotch whiskey with cigars, and because I think that, you know, those are two tastes that complement each other. Now, some cigars, like this one I'm smoking, which is a Questore, which is an American one, it goes very well with beer. There's something in the, you know, there's kind of that taste in it that, you know, you get more towards the back of your mouth on the top, which is the same place that you taste beer at. You know, when you get a good cold beer, you really feel it back there. And then the beer and the cigar kind of complement each other. Main thing with beverages is, you know, again, it's your choice of something you like, and also your choice of your companion or companions that you're smoking your cigar with. Smoking cigars with people who like to drink whiskey, you know, get a cigar that you like that goes good with whiskey, and then that having something to drink with it just adds to the pleasure of smoking it.
Yeah, and a cigar is something too that you have several. Well, when the new ones come in, then I'll have about three varieties, each different. John and I kind of go half and half on these boxes because we kind of smoke most of them. And there's like Ricardo's are stronger, the Havanas that we had brought from Canada through customs by a friendly person. They don't go. Mark Twain claimed that it's a good cigar, the best thing it could have with it was beer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different, and you pick cigars according to your mood. It's not always the same, and the cigar will not always kind of fit. That's kind of what mood you're in. You judge your cigar that way. Think about it carefully so that you get the full amount of relaxation and enjoyment as you can for your money.
Is there a proper way to smoke a cigar? How do you hold a cigar?
Any way you want.
Difference. Just don't hold it on the hot end. The only rule I think in smoking cigars is give the cigar as much time as you can.
Yeah.
Because the faster you smoke it and the harder you puff on it, the hotter it's going to burn. And the more heat you're going to get in your mouth. If you allow the cigar to cool itself, you get a much smoother smoke.
Yeah, which is why you leave the ash on.
Yeah.
You know, a poor cigar will lose it right away. A good cigar will keep it. You want it to keep the cool flame. I have to play the table games.